So what's going on, guys? Your boy Mike here, along with another Mike and my man Get Like Coop. And today we're going to be discussing multiple transactions that are about to go down in the NBA. The trade deadline at the time that we're recording this is 10 days away, and it's a surefire thing that the Los Angeles Lakers are going to acquire each and every player that becomes available. Now, Mike and Coop are going to try to convince me otherwise, so say what's up, guys.
Yo, what's going on, guys? Get Like Coop here. Big time Pelicans fan. You guys know my body of work. Love the Pelicans. Absolutely. We got Mike Corzimba over here. He's going to introduce himself.
What up, guys? Sorry for that pump fake, Coop, when I cleared my throat and then said for you to go. I'm a Bulls fan. Not exactly in the best position, like Mike over here, who apparently wants all the talent in the NBA when you guys are already mostly chilling. I don't know. Brooklyn Nets looking pretty good lately, but Chicago Bulls looking pretty horrible lately. We finally benched Kobe White. I don't know if you saw it. We benched Kobe White. We need him as our sixth man. Wendell, he's been horrible. He's been absolutely horrible. Benched him, sent him a message, started Thad Young at center.
Wait, you guys have Thaddeus Young?
Do you watch NBA?
I don't watch teams that aren't even close to competing for the NBA playoffs. There's only so much.
Second best player.
You're proud of that?
He's great.
I didn't even know Thaddeus Young was still in the NBA, to be honest.
He's crushing it. He's an expiring contract.
Crushing it? What do you mean by crushing it?
Shooting 60%, 12 points per game, 6 rebounds.
You're shooting 60% from the field?
60%?
That's literally a stat that only Bulls fans can know. Thaddeus Young is shooting 60%? That's absurd.
I got basketball reference up right here. Per 36 minutes. 17 points.
Per 36 minutes? You're not throwing per 36 minutes at us, bro.
It was 12.1 points, 6.1 rebounds, 4.3 assists, 1.3 steals on 60% shooting.
If Thaddeus Young is your team's second best player, your team is down bad.
There's no 21 PER.
You know what's really funny? The Chicago Bulls have like this history of like really pumping up the value of like a role player, you know, and then trading him at the trade deadline to like some other team that just bites on him. Like, you remember
Mirotic?
He's expiring.
Yeah, I know. It's a great ad.
What are we supposed to do right now, though? He's 32. He's about to be 33 years old. We're not going to sign him to a big contract.
Send them to a contender, man.
Wow, you guys are really down bad, because like this is pretty much how you guys finish each and every year. It's like you guys are in NBA purgatory. You're not good enough to get like the top 4 or 5 picks in the NBA draft, except last year where you guys got Patrick Williams. But you're not bad enough to, I mean, you're not good enough to actually make it into the playoffs. And you guys always finish with like a middle to late round lottery pick, which you guys really haven't been hitting on lately.
We're hoping Patty becomes a big guy. You know, he's a lot of high hopes in Patrick Williams. But yeah, what hurts the most, which we discovered when we were just talking the other day, is looking back at Luka's draft when the Kings beat the 65-win Rockets, and because they won that game, they tied with us, and if they had just lost, we would have gotten that second overall pick, and we would have taken Luka. That was our chance.
But, bro, like, come on. You got Wendell Carter Jr., you know? Like, not bad.
Wendell has been trashed. You might be speaking on Wendell's name his first two seasons. This year, he's getting freaking bodied by Tony Bradley.
Bro, the Bulls are the new Kings. It's where talent goes to die.
It's hurting, but it's freaking Billy. You know what? We've got Billy.
Do you like Billy Donovan?
I mean, I've liked him.
You've so liked far. Him, but do you like him right now? Is he? You think the
we're 17 Chicago 20. Pool?
That's not
Jim,
good.
We had Jim Boylan.
But come on, you can't be like, okay, this guy was that bad. Anything's an improvement. You got to want to do better.
That's how we kind of feel.
You know what's really surprising to me? I never quite understood this. You have the 7th pick in the NBA draft. Back then, like Chicago Bulls at this point, you're trying to just draft upside at this point. Why on earth would you take a undersized center over the likes of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, which, again, he was a project player coming out of the NBA draft, so I don't really blame you. But Michael Porter Jr., you know, like,
that's,
this is a guy
that's kind of like pure hindsight, but I see what you're saying. Wendell Carter was a shock pick. I think people wanted Wendell Carter to be Al Horford. He still has a lot of talent. Like, you know, he gets in the right system. But when the Bulls took Wendell Carter Jr., I was shocked. But I thought it would be like one of those picks where I'm like shocked, and then he later ends up performing and shocking everybody.
Was it really a shock pick? I don't.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
from my own draft experience, I don't think it was a shock.
For me, it was a complete shock. He was as plain as they come out of college. Like, he didn't have any extraordinary skill sets.
The mock draft, ESPN's mock draft right before the draft, had them picking Wendell.
Hey.
They had Michael Porter going 6. Luka was supposed to go to the Kings. Trey was supposed to go number 9 to the Knicks. They were just playing. This is a Knicks fan wrote this, I guess.
Well, at the same time, you could have completely missed on the draft pick, right? Like, this is also a draft pick that had DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley go 1-2.
What was the Bulls lineup when they drafted Wendell?
Here's the theory. They had Zach, and they had Lowry, and Lowry was coming off a rookie season where he was like averaging like 17-ish a game. All right? So like, it was like, okay, we've got this 7-footer power forward that can't play any defense really. But so we need, you know, he's going to hang on the perimeter. Let's get a center that can guard the rim. And Wendell's rookie season stats, he was actually, I think, I don't know the exact stat, but he was top 10 defensively in some like pretty good advanced stats for centers. But he just has not really improved what we like. He's basically been, I don't know, are we cursing on this? He's been a bitch.
So
he has not been the toughness we need down there. Dwight Howard bodied that man the other day. It's painful to see the combination of Tony Bradley and Dwight Howard dropping a combined like 35 and freaking like 20 rebounds on your head. Disgusting.
So for future reference, by the way, yes, cursing after the 5-minute mark.
Yeah, Tom, that's a thing. Well, Tom's not hurt.
No, no, you cry. No, it's perfectly fine. But here's the thing. Okay. You guys didn't hit exactly on Wendell Carter Jr. But then again, you look at the entire draft, and this entire draft has been filled with either absolute home runs like Luka and Trey, and complete like misses like Marvin Bagley.
Even Trey, like, they could have had Luka.
True, they could have had Luka. For some reason, I guess they were like enamored with the whole, this guy looks like the next Steph Curry. We want him. So I can understand that at the same time.
I don't understand what happened in that draft. I do not understand. Like, were teams just overthinking everything? Like, how did Luka just slide? Like,
well, Ayton was kind of like the safe pick.
Centers are, their value is supposed to be never been lower. And somehow still Ayton goes ahead of Luka.
Well, Ayton was also like advertised as this guy that, first of all, in college he shot 34% from three. So we believe that he was going to be able to stretch the floor in addition to dominate on the interior, kind of in a similar way that Karl Anthony Towns did. So far this year, he's
made 0.3 threes a night.
Korzemba, you're making a mistake because you're questioning logic that the Suns don't have. How are we shocked?
How are we shocked
by anybody the Suns have taken over the course of the past 10 years?
Like, Aiden's Arizona guy, and they already have Devin Booker. They need a center. That's where I'm thinking they came from.
So
drafting for need in the top five is you don't do that. I don't like drafting for need in the draft. Period. I don't like doing that. Period. That's how you end up with that Bagley Lucas situation, like you just said, Aiden, and that's
exactly the King. Did the Kings just think, were they just like, oh yeah, we'll never be able to get De'Aaron Fox to work? Like, LaMelo, number two.
Wiseman's
going to be good, but Luka also did destroy any upside Dennis Smith Jr. had. But I mean, that's the risk you run when you get a generational player like Luka.
Also, like, if you look at the Phoenix Suns going into that draft, these are the picks they made ever since Devin Booker in 2015, which was the last lottery pick that they hit on. In 2016, they drafted Dragan Bender. In 2017, they drafted Josh Jackson. So going into 2018, you know, yeah, Luka Doncic is very boom or bust, but if you're the general manager of the Suns, you can't necessarily mess up that pick. You know, so I'm assuming that was the rationale.
Have the same general manager, though?
Let me see. GM of the Suns. James Jones is new, so I'm assuming not. James Jones was named general manager in 2019, so I'm assuming that streak prior, not really.
So there we go.
So
this is a good time to actually, though, like, experiment where we could, like, we could fact check ourselves real quick and then continue the conversation, you know, making sure that we're correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good idea.
All right. So he was fired. So Orion McDonough was fired from his job, Suns general manager, on October 8th, 2018, which was after the draft.
You want to know some crazy shit? Suns coach, I think, actually coached Luka's national team. Like, he saw what Luka could do up close and personal, and they still passed on Luka. He gave a really weird quote about it. I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was super interesting.
I know. Who was their head coach before Monty and before Igor? Was it Igor you're talking about? Or
it might be Igor. Because I'm pretty sure it was the coach before Monty.
So Igor said he would fit great, I'm looking at. But the options are open.
Yeah, that's the quote. I was like, what, bro? What is that? What?
I mean,
I guess that's where you don't want to trash the player you drafted.
The thing is, when you get someone like, okay, Luka or something, like, that's where you just have to just, you know, figure, like, okay, like, two guys like Luka and Devin Booker, they're going to make it work. Like, Luka's, like, passing is, like, it's just going to work. You can't just be like, okay, we have our one lead, like, main ball handler. Devin Booker handles the ball a ton. Like, let's just focus now on a center or something.
Did you see
that? DeAndre Ayton's are also in, like, what's going to happen with DeAndre Ayton? He's going to get a max contract?
So it's
Did you see that the Suns are in the market for a big?
Yeah, so I was actually about to bring that up. DeAndre Ayton's
14 and 11.
So I was actually going to bring that up. The Suns, a couple of days ago, said that apparently it's one of those executives around the league believe. So take that for what you will. But the Suns are expected to try to... If
I
was one of those
Twitter accounts, I would just tweet that out all the time, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, executives around the league believe that...
I would say sources. I would say per sources all the time. A team source identified that...
I wonder how many times they've just lied. Like, how would we know?
Well, I usually say that there's what, you know, there's the actual information that they're just getting out there to get a reaction out of the NBA. And then there's, like, the underlying reason. So this report that executives around the league believe that the Suns just need a good traditional center to compete definitely was a shot at DeAndre Ayton. Because if you compare Andre Drummond to DeAndre Ayton this year, Andre Drummond is pretty much DeAndre Ayton if he was a little bit more productive. Not by much, but a little bit, if you compare them statistically. What's Ayton doing this year after getting Chris Paul?
We'd have to dive into some advanced numbers there.
Yeah. I mean,
Andre Drummond is the most hated player, like, in the NBA, on NBA Twitter, I've ever seen.
How yeah, I don't agree with that, but, you know, it is what it is. I understand the frustration with him, though.
How come? Because his advanced statistics, like, Andre Drummond's advanced statistics are very ugly. I agree. Like, -0.5.
Because I think he's a good player. I think he just needs to find the right team. I think he's an over...
We're talking about Drummond?
Player. Yeah. I think he wants to do things that he can't do. I think he has to have, like, one of those Dwight Howard revelations where, you know, he finds himself and commits to his role, because he's an elite rebounder.
The NBA keeps evolving, like, away from what he does. You know,
but not necessarily. There's always going to be a need for guys that can gobble boards and dominate the glass.
But not like what it used to be. Like,
oh yeah, nowhere near. If you
put Andre Drummond in, like, the 2000 draft, and you had to play out his career there, like, he was a 22-year-old all-star. And he was averaging, 16 and 15 at 22. But it's just, like, that people don't need centers like that as much. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
No, even last year, he averaged 17.7 and 15.2.
The thing is, he's also he's good on defense. I mean, he's good on statistical defense. Like, he's good at blocking shots. He gets steals. He plays the passing lanes pretty well. He's pretty mobile for a big guy. You know, I think he just has to find that right system. But you're right. The need for bigs is not what it used to be. So, you know, I feel that every day. The Pelicans extended Steven Adams 18 mil per year, you know. I watch that every game.
You don't like that?
I don't like that at all, man. Next to Zion, Steven Adams, bro. 18 mil, all he does is grab boards. That's it.
That shrinks the floor a little bit.
I think the Steven Adams argument is you at least have like some like a bruiser down there, but
no,
that's a lot of money for a bruiser.
No, he's the worst pick and roll defender in the league. He's bottom five in points allowed per pick, which is absurd. Yeah, you set one screen on him, your team's getting a wide open shot.
Oh my God.
The Pelicans play like the Blazers on TNT. What is tomorrow? I think Lillard's gonna get 50. One screen and wide open three. It's so disgusting how many bigs can't move their feet in today's game.
So
I like this advanced analysis for like a DraftKings Damian Lillard over under.
So I was actually comparing Andre Drummond to DeAndre Ayton's advanced statistics and just very basic advanced statistics like VORP and box plus minus. They have the exact same BPM, like to the T. And DeAndre Ayton is a slight upgrade with a 0.2 advantage on VORP. So DeAndre Ayton's 0.5, whereas Andre Drummond's 0.3. And obviously Andre Drummond's basic statistics are a little bit more inflated because I'm assuming he's on a lesser team. So,
all right, Mike, how do you feel about Andre Drummond, Flight Mike? You've been telling us these stats, but how do you feel about him as a player?
I think I have to agree with Korzemba with what he said. I remember like about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, there was this like one video where Andre Drummond was trying to shoot threes and try to convince the entire NBA that he was going to become a capable 3-point shooter, which he wasn't fooling anyone. It's unfortunate because I grew up and we all grew up in an era where Andre Drummond's statistics and his body of work would make him the face of a contending NBA team. Like I remember his prime draft comparison was Dwight Howard, maybe plus plus. So it's really tough to see the fact that he's putting up like numbers that we used to glorify, but his skill set isn't necessarily going to be good for anything else except maybe catching lobs and grabbing rebounds. So if you're asking my opinion on Andre Drummond, I always said that his free agency this offseason is going to be very important for traditional big men because the amount that he gets is going to set the market for a player like him moving forward because he's 27.
He'll get much.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I think, like, look at his trade value right now. Like, if you were to look at his stats and be like, okay, like a contender could add this kind of center that normally would be like a game changer, but his value's not there.
Now,
are they going to have to buy him out? What's happening?
Yeah, it's really interesting that they might have to buy him out. Now, at the same time, the thing that is really fascinating to me is you're beginning to see DeAndre Ayton kind of trend towards that direction. Again, coming out of the draft, we were convinced that this man could actually shoot threes and could actually shoot. Throughout his entire NBA career so far, the man has like shot 0.2 threes per game. So there's been nothing of that moving forward. So as a result, could we see the Suns potentially try to trade DeAndre Ayton or maybe even like renounce his rights as soon as he becomes a free agent? Because
I'll tell you this. If you thought DeAndre Ayton was going to shoot threes and that's why you drafted him, you deserve what you got. You know, you didn't deserve
it. Yeah.
he
can knock down a mid-range jumper, though. I'm looking at his shooting stats. He shoots from 10 to 16 feet. He's 29 for 57. From 3 to 10 feet, he's 46 for 96. So, you know, he does have that majority of his shot chart is around the paint, but he does take shots from the left corner-ish area, left wing-ish area, and from the free throw line.
And that being said, that's not a shot I love either. If I'm playing DeAndre Ayton and he's hitting 45% of his mid-range jumpers, I let him keep shooting them, you know?
Yeah, Basketball Reference is amazing with this shot chart, by the way. If you just go to any single shot, it goes January 1st, 2021, Phoenix at Denver, fourth quarter, 10:44 remaining, made two-pointer from 15 feet. Phoenix now leads 89 to 78. What?
That's insane.
Except for every single shot.
That's actually crazy. I think go ahead.
You know what's really
I was gonna say just that he's like they were drafting him based on the fact that he was gonna be like an athletic super like a super version of like I would say like DeAndre Jordan. Like that he was like bigger, like faster, like could like guard.
I feel like they wanted like David Robinson, maybe not DeAndre Jordan, because he's never been an explosive athlete. He's always been around the rim.
Okay, true. More like that. Yeah. But what I'm saying is though that they thought they wanted him to be a guy that
what's interesting?
Mobile.
The Suns drafted another big in the lottery.
Also David Robinson was crazy mobile, by the way.
Yeah, he was. He was a great athlete.
Coop, you were saying?
The Suns drafted another big this past draft. They drafted Jalen Smith in the lottery. I actually like this guy, you know. He reminds me a little bit of Miles Turner in that sense. So I wonder if they see him going forward being that big of the future.
It's really interesting because, yeah, Jalen Smith's skill set, although a little bit more raw, is definitely more suited for the NBA. He actually came out of college shooting 37% from the floor. And the thing is, how do you give up on your former number one overall pick that quickly? Is DeAndre Ayton the answer?
I don't think they're giving up on him necessarily. I think they're seeing something else that's working. And that might mean giving up. But
it's just a question when someone so this is what, year three? Next year, like when someone throws that max contract offer at them, it's like, they sign him, and then now you have a max contract DeAndre Ayton.
If I'm a bad team, I'm paying DeAndre Ayton. You know, I might not have a choice.
That's what I'm saying. The Suns are going to have to make the choice. The Suns are the ones that are going to be like,
I don't.
Someone would
max. Somebody is definitely going to max him.
Go ahead, Coop.
I was going to say the thing is, you know, I think he does average 20 and 10 on a mediocre to bad team. The thing is, there's more efficient ways to play basketball now. It's really crazy because when the Pelicans swept the Portland Trailblazers a few years back, AD wasn't our best player. He might have been one of like our most important pieces for sure, but our best player was hands down Drew. You know, he helped slow down Damian Lillard. He was our primary shot creator. AD got so many assisted looks. It wasn't like he was creating offense for himself every time down. He was relegated to shot blocking, focusing on energy plays, you know, roaming the floor, doing what he's best at. So when I saw that, I was like, man, you know, this is crazy. Maybe bigs really aren't what they used to be.
It really depends. I'll just say this one last thing about Ayton. And I do believe that he does have the potential to become a 3-point shooter. If a person, like every time I've scouted someone coming out of college, if they possess the ability to at least convert on 70% of their free throws, and they showed that they could kind of shoot the mid-range, then typically over the span of their career at some point or another, they do eventually develop the ability to shoot the three. And I
don't know about that one. I'll tell you, anything is possible, but you know, in year like 15, I don't know. Because I think Aldridge is one of the best mid-range shooters in the game, but it hasn't necessarily correlated to him being a good 3-point shooter. He's okay. He's shooting at league average, but with the efficiency, with like how efficient he shoots the ball from mid-range, you just figured he'd be better. And I'm taking him. LaMarcus Aldridge mid-range all day over DeAndre Ayton.
Aldridge has been fairly solid from three last year, 39% from three, shooting three threes per game.
Yeah, that's really low volume.
Year, although his that's numbers really kind low of volume. Like fell off. But at the same time, like you're talking about a center slash power forward that was part of a completely different version of the NBA. Like Aldridge was drafted in 06. To see him be able to go on through his career with, in the very beginning of his career, for the first like 7 years of his career, this guy didn't even attempt a three. He was all mid-range, like you said. 2014 to 2015.
So good. Like, he was so good.
He started
Mike.
Experimenting with it. And it wasn't until his third year with the San Antonio Spurs that he made it like a legitimate part of his game. And even more recently, it's been more of a focal point of his game. And I think that's the reason why he stuck around for this long. Because if he didn't eventually start shooting threes, he'd probably be out of the NBA in general. Speaking of which, what team do you think is the best fit for Aldridge?
I'm not sure there's like a best fit. I think there's a lot of teams he can help. But, you know, if it, I don't know, it depends. Are we talking about like buyout? Are we talking about trade? If we're talking about a trade, I'd love to see Aldridge with the 76ers. I like Danny Green. He has a contract that's close to LaMarcus Aldridge. The Celtics have a trade exception they could use on him. I don't want Aldridge to go to the Celtics, though. I don't think
that's I don't think they'll use that trade exception.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that. I don't like that fit that much either. But the 76ers, they would be for the summer. The 76ers definitely have a need for backup big. Dwight Howard hasn't been as good as expected. He had a recent good game a few nights ago. But yeah, there's some You want to talk about it?
I said like 18 and 12 on Wendell Carter. I made Wendell Carter look like the 35-year-old.
Prime Dwight Howard came out for a night against Chicago, man. That's kind of crazy.
It's literally insane. It's just like Wendell needed to be benched to be taught a lesson, and that lesson is to stop sucking.
I feel the same way about Steven Adams. We could trade. I would take a flyer on Wendell. You could get Steven.
It just makes no sense. Wendell, you would think like his natural progression. I just hate when that happens. Like it's suddenly just like you have a player, you're like, okay, like, oh wow, he's looking like he's like, you know, like great. Like the Al Horford comparison was looking good. It was like, oh, this, you know, this guy's
looking all right. Yeah.
He was very solid as a rookie defensively. Like for a rookie center, like you really liked what you had. Yeah.
But that happens a lot. That's what separates like the good players. That's what separates the good players from the great. That's why you can't jump the gun when a guy puts together a great stretch or a few good seasons or like, you know. And that sounds crazy.
That's why I hope that that freaking that the rumor that the Warriors were like willing to give up their number two pick for and our number four pick for Wendell. Really hope that wasn't true.
That pick has been the subject of so many trade rumors that it's.
I know, but that was a big one at the time, and I don't even. I really hope that was just not true.
Literally, like almost every single week, I see like the Golden State Warriors interested in Victor Oladipo, willing to part with like their Minnesota Timberwolves pick, which is probably the most volatile pick in the entire NBA draft this year. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
I'm talking about the pick from last year.
Last year.
Yeah, on last year. If you Google it right now, there's 1,000 articles on it. Yeah. I don't know if maybe it looks like the Bulls proposed it and the Warriors, I think, might have turned it down. Very smart of them.
So if you were the general manager of the Chicago Bulls, what would you do?
LaVine to New Orleans. First thing I do, LaVine saying no.
That's a good question. What would you do with Zach LaVine?
What would I do with Zach LaVine? Tough because you're right. They are in a tough spot. They're too good to be bad, too bad to be good.
We're at the point right now where like the fan base would not accept like another just complete rebuild because we just had one.
Y'all, so, you call that a complete rebuild?
You guys haven't been rebuilt, bro. I'm sorry to break it to you.
Yo, Bulls fans are like the most delusional fans
Y'all are so delusional. I thought Laker fans were bad, bro.
Y'all are so delusional.
Oh my god.
I'm mad that y'all are.
All right, well, you want like 4 years feels like a long time. Four or five years feels like a long time.
Try 10, buddy. Try 10 years, okay? I have a video. It's like one of my earliest videos.
I would like to point out, though, that freaking, We haven't been anything since really 2015, I guess. We made the playoffs once with
Rondo
41 record. Yeah. So.
And what y'all thought y'all were going to upset? Y'all thought playoff Rondo was going to upset the
Celtics?
Was it the Celtics? Yeah. That was a crazy time.
Didn't happen, but regardless. Okay, yeah. So what? So 2015 is good. I mean, it feels like a long time, you know?
Dude, try 10 years, okay? Like,
try my entire life.
Yo, I the
Lakers
the
were
pain.
Not 10 years. Is that what you're claiming?
It has been 10 years, yeah.
Since what?
since I don't count 2011 as a year that like we were 2011 was our first Mike Brown year, lost in the second round against the OKC Thunder. From that day,
so what counts for me then? What you still made the Western Conference semis in 2012, then the playoffs in 2013.
All right, hold on. 2013, first round without Kobe, that does not count. Like we were sitting there, like literally watching Dwight Howard give like a half-ass effort. Like that definitely doesn't count.
You had to sit through six seasons. Sure. All right.
Oh, you made the playoffs. Cry me a fucking river.
Did you have to watch like, yeah. And then like watching what happened to Kobe Bryant's Achilles. Like, it's just been painful to be a Laker fan. I was like rooting for us to get deep. I remember cheering on and like hoping we drafted Jahlil Okafor only for us to get D'Angelo Russell, which was a very weird year. 2 years later, we're trading him for like cap relief that we didn't necessarily even need for anybody, just because our general manager decided it would be a good idea to pay Luol Deng a 4-year, $72 million contract, and Timofey Mozgov another ridiculous contract as well. It's been painful this past decade.
You got Kuzma back in that trade.
We did get Kuzma back in that trade, true.
And Brook Lopez.
I'm not sure.
Your best offer. I don't even know. What's D'Angelo been up to?
I'm not sure that's a fair way to assess the trade, though. But I know a lot
of
people.
It was a draft pick. Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell this year. Do you want his basic statistics?
I'm looking at him. He's taking a slight downgrade. I mean, what is going on in Minnesota? Like, we're talking about our own fandoms not feeling the best, even though Mike is literally NBA champion. But
yeah, seriously.
But imagine being a Timberwolves fan. A Timberwolves fan would just trump everyone. Yeah, you have Zion. First of all, I'd like to point out, I don't want to hear anything about your past complaints. You have Zion and Brandon Ingram, all right?
And Lonzo Ball, who's like shooting 8 threes in a game and making like 33% of them.
Hey, we do have them, huh? That's crazy.
Yeah, so like we're talking about like, oh, what are we going to do with Zach? Because we have an all-star level talent. But you know what? He doesn't line up with any timeline because we don't have a timeline. That might be on you guys.
I'm not gonna lie though, we lucked into Zion. I think David Griffin sucks. I think he's a really bad GM. I think he's made a lot of really bad moves. And David Griffin, if you're watching this podcast,
I agree with Korzemba though. I don't think any team has had a worse over the past like I don't know maybe let's say 13 years. Than the Timberwolves.
But the Timberwolves, they just got the number one pick. Things are looking better. Anthony Edwards has been balling. The efficiency is not there, but that's going to come. And they made some moves, man. They got to get their pick. He's a scary player, but he's talented. I like the talent.
He scares me with his quote of talking about wanting to be a rapper or a football player before the draft. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Hey, man. Yeah.
No, I think that's just typical media trying to destroy his reputation. Yeah, I might have passed on him
because of the quote.
It was not the media trying to destroy him. He straight up, for no reason, started talking about it.
I think he's just a chill guy. I think maybe it was taken out of context.
I agree.
That context was...
That he wants to rap? We're vilifying Anthony?
I'm finding it.
Lonzo Ball wanted to rap. Like Lonzo
Ball. Seriously, Damian Lillard's rapping right now.
Lonzo Ball had a freaking reality TV show and his own shoe coming out of college, and he turned out to be just fine.
I'm gonna read you this, and you would be like, I would never want my team to draft that. Okay, wait, hold on. He said, to be honest, first of all, he says, to be honest, I can't watch basketball. Okay. And then he says if he were drafted by the NFL tomorrow, he'd let basketball go. Because you could do anything on the field. You can spike the ball. You could dance. You can do all the disrespectful stuff. In the NBA, he says, you can't do any of that. You'll get fine. He goes on to say that he's an aspiring rapper.
He's a funny guy. Have you heard of Anthony Edwards' song?
If this was all a joke, then sure. If he was like messing around, then I believe.
I think he was just chilling. I thought it was a wild quote, too. At first, I was like, yo, why would you say this?
If that really is it though, I guess since he came to the league, like a lot of people have said he's really funny.
He has he has like a lot of funny quotes. Like okay, we so have maybe, to have like an Anthony Edwards.
Maybe segment. He just is like messing around.
Okay. I wouldn't be because surprised.
I also remember him saying that he had his own like. Didn't he get in trouble for saying that he was like doing? He was quarantining already or whatever. He was like, I had my own COVID already, like, because he was what he like he meant was that he was just like quarantining, like,
yeah, like he's draft. Just a funny guy. He just says funny stuff like that. And honestly, like, it kind of, I wouldn't be surprised. And again, like, I have to consume a lot of media and a lot of news for what I typically do on my channel. But like, I see the media do this a lot where they try to manipulate a narrative. And typically, I wonder if it was like the Ball family that was trying to pump up LaMelo Ball's draft stock or something of that nature that blew that entire narrative up. Because I've seen plenty of interviews like that where players say stuff exactly like that, only they're not supposed to be going in the top five and other NBA teams don't really care. So I think since he was the number one overall pick, people just wanted to make a big deal or potentially smear his name to pump up the value of other prospects.
I'm not going to lie. When he said that, I thought, go ahead.
Yeah, I have to leave. But I was going to say that one thing I will say was that that was just in the article, and like, it was not like a headline of the article at all. It was just the NBA Twitter accounts jumped at it. So yeah, like, okay. They weren't making it a big deal in the article at all. It was just other people read it and made a big deal of it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So that's the only thing I would say against that narrative of them trying to, like, you know, besmirch him.
All right. So Korzemba's got to leave, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I've got to just go right now.
All right. Okay. We'll catch you later.